We've produced a new CD of two sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin, one for Lent and one for Easter. And we'll send you this new CD for any size donation during the season of Lent. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between now and April 12th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Lent and Easter sermons.
We'll restore science to its rightful place and wield technology's wonders.
The gospel is not only the message that the church takes to the world. The gospel is the source of the church's very existence.
People have the attention span of hummingbirds on cocaine. It's got to feel good right now. And to some degree, that's the way we also think about church.
Southern Illinois truck drivers, love issues, etc.
One of the things we've got to talk about before the end of this first hour on Friday is the most significant new addition to the vital equipment that we keep around here at the LPR studios, where we produce issues, etc. It's small, but it's important. It didn't cost a lot of money because we're frugal guys. In fact, it cost us nothing. It was a gift, but it will come in so handy. And it will save, Craig, hours per... Yes, I would say even hours of painful toil that up to this point he's had to engage in on almost a weekly basis. We'll tell you a little bit about the newest piece of equipment here at LPR a little later in the hour, this Friday afternoon, March the 13th. Listener email is first, as usual on Friday, and then issues, etc., blog post of the week, and soundbite of the week. We got four great soundbites this week. We'll play them for you in about a half hour, and then you get to vote for soundbite of the week. In the second hour of the program on this Friday, we're going to be talking with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse about sexting. Kids take a picture of themselves, a not-so-innocent picture of themselves, and they send it around. And then, of course, the way it is, it gets around. There's a tragic story that was featured on the Today Show recently. Mother of a daughter, the daughter sent a lurid picture of herself to her boyfriend. They broke up. It got sent to hundreds of other kids. The daughter was devastated, eventually committed suicide. And we're going to talk about sexting with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse at the beginning of the second hour. Then Dr. Albert Moeller will join us. His thoughts, very insightful thoughts, always with Dr. Moeller on that new survey on American religious life. And then Pastor Stephen Parks will help us defend Scripture alone in the last half hour of the program. Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or you can email us right here in the studio. No sexting, please. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Talk back at issuesetc.org. I think of this as the half hour of Sweet Release. Listener email. Who's first, Jeff?
Sarah from South Carolina. Do you have any archived items you could point me to that cover the topic of divorced men and whether or not, or if yes, under what circumstances, they should be allowed to hold the office of pastor in a local church? Otherwise, could you please have someone discuss the topic on your program? I'm not looking for any situation ethics discussions like I've been hearing locally. I just want to know what your people are seeing in the Bible only about the qualifications for those given spiritual authority over the church, which I believe should include elders too and not just pastors. If a church has elected to call a pastor that does not meet the biblical model for any reason, not just this one, and there are no other local biblically run Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregations within reasonable driving distance, should LCMS members attend a Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod church, or what should they do? Sarah from South Carolina, thanks for the email.
Okay, now it's two good questions, and as I so often say, you don't hear me say it often on the air, but I say it probably 15 times a day at least. The first question is really a Jeff question. Didn't we have a pastor's roundtable where we got into the subject at some point of pastors divorced serving their calls?
Yes, we did. It was a program we did on divorce within the first couple months of the show. So it would be issuesetc.org, go on demand, and and we don't have a search engine yet.
You know, during the next email, I will both listen and find the program. I can do both those things at the same time. Now, her second question has to do, what do you do if a congregation, your congregation, has called a pastor who, in a manifest way, does not meet the biblical standards for a man qualified for the pastoral ministry? If you're a Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, in the case of the email, a Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod member, should you go to a Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod congregation? And first of all, I think you need to deal with the situation in your congregation if you can. If they've called a man who is simply not qualified, I'm not talking about qualifications in terms of job qualifications. I'm talking about the scriptural qualifications for a man to be called as a pastor. And if it is demonstrable that one of those qualifications is not met in this person, then if I were you, I probably would go to a Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Church. Now, I would be careful about how I do that, but if the congregation is not going to be faithful to God's word in its calling of a pastor, then it's very likely they will stray from faithfulness in God's word in other respects too. And so I would peacefully and quietly find another church, and if the best that you could do is a Wisconsin Synod congregation, where you'd have to make the decision whether you're going to be a communicant member there or not. And if you're going to be a communicant member there, you have to assent to what they teach there in particular. Then I think that's what I'd do.
By the way, that was August 20th program on divorce, a pastor's roundtable discussion. And those pastors gave their – I don't think you gave your opinion on the subject, but a couple of pastors did on that subject.
And it's a subject we can revisit again at some point. It's not a rare thing. By the way, and there are some nuances here. There are men who have been divorced before entering the pastoral ministry. There are men who are divorced in the midst of the pastoral ministry. There are men who are abandoned by their wives. There's all sorts of subtleties here. And Christians of goodwill can disagree on this, although I think we could probably get closer to the biblical model than we have been. It's a very good question.
Ken in Orlando, Florida, your broadcast with Dr. Bradley Watson this week was excellent. I had never before made the connection between the modern urge to constantly seek change and Darwin's theories. Makes sense. It's also sobering how that view has so much influence in the church today. It's all about change when it comes to growing the church. Do modern Christians believe the scriptures are a living document whose interpretation must morph to meet the felt needs of the culture? Once again, the modern church seems to follow the culture instead of being countercultural, writes Ken in Orlando, Florida.
Well, simple answer to the question is in so many cases, yes. You will not find many of the so-called Bible-believing liberals out there who say, we believe in the Bible, we believe in the Scripture's authority, but when it comes to their theology, they play fast and loose with Scripture's teachings. They tend to be doctrinal minimalists, and this applies to Christians across denominational lines. You won't hear them coming out and saying, well, you know, the Bible's a living document that needs to be interpreted and reinterpreted according to the changing winds of our times. But in practice, that's exactly what they do. In worst cases, you'll find churches that continue to outwardly affirm the Scriptures, but in practice and in their teaching, deny much of what is in there. You know, there's more than one way to skin a cat, and there's more than one way to deny the authority of Scripture. One way is the old liberal way, which is just to say the Bible isn't authoritative. And the other way is to say the Bible is authoritative, but to ignore what it teaches. But they both deny the authority of Scripture.
You know, you read that email from Ken in Orlando, and people...
Oh, smartest listeners, no doubt about it.
Unbelievable.
No doubt about it.
Unbelievable. Smarter than the two guys on mic right now. Beth in Kuwait, she writes, she recently was a recipient winner of the Soundbite of the Week a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, did you scratch together enough postage?
Oh, I don't know. She had an address here in the United States. I didn't have to put any extra postage on. She emailed me.
Well, you know, that was part of my restructuring. You remember? That was when I announced that I am restructuring Issues, Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio because you were unwilling to carry out my commands, and I simply had to restructure so that you do what I say.
I thought you were restructuring and moving the offices to Kuwait. I thought that's what you were.
No.
Oh, okay. Anyway, Beth from Kuwait. Yes, the country Kuwait. I'm sorry I didn't reply sooner. When my husband got back from Lebanon, Illinois, he found a package for me at the post office. I've enjoyed my mug every morning at school with my tea, and I get lots of interesting looks at the supermarket with my T-shirt. Something about an American woman walking around with and I have issues on her chest tends to get people's attention around here. Thank you very much, writes Beth in Kuwait.
Beth, thank you so much. And she's in good company. If you go to the Et Cetera page of our website, issuesetc.org, you'll see Bishop Swady of the South African Lutheran Church, the Lutheran Church of Southern Africa, in fact, wearing the I Have Issues t-shirt when he came by in very cold weather to visit us here at the LPR studios. Beth, thank you very much for your faithful listening, and I know you don't need the t-shirt to keep warm in Kuwait, but we're very glad you have it. Gentlemen, what's going on?
Oh, we're trying to figure out if we can get a t-shirt worn by somebody in each of the seven continents. And we can't what continent is Kuwait in?
Asia.
Is it Asia?
Okay, let's see.
Because we know we got Africa covered.
No,
with Bishop Swady.
It's not Africa.
North America is covered.
It's Asia.
Maybe somebody can email us, talkback@issuesetc.org.
Well, I thought the Asian subcontinent included India. It might be Eurasia, or that kind of fuzzy line between Europe and Asia. It might
well,
be there.
If it is Asia, that means we have what? North America, Africa,
Europe.
Do we have Europe? We have Europe? Oh, yeah. We've got Europe. We had a listener that listens in Switzerland that has one, or Germany. And so we have four continents. So what we got left? Australia. What else? South America. What are we missing? Mm-hmm. Antarctica? Okay. Anybody listening?
Australia, I think, is considered a subcontinent, too.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So what continent is that, then?
I don't know.
Boy, we're clueless. Somebody help us out. Smartest listeners in radio, straighten us out when they come.
Yeah, we're going to get an email here in about 5 minutes from someone explaining geography to us. You got any more email in there? I mean, what's that? Oh, it's time to take a break.
It's time to take a break.
Okay. I'm not a mind reader, you know. We're going through
you
some.
You do have a clock, though.
Yeah, I know.
And actually, Craig does give you hand cues.
I actually have three clocks in front of me and Craig waving his hands at me. Oh, it's Friday. Okay, when we come back, more listener email, then Issues Etc. blog of the week, Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Stay tuned.
It's never been as easy as today, and it would make me happy when you've gone so far away.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Charles Gottschall, Morton Talbot, Eric Andre, Rebecca Frawley, Patrick Burkett, Dr. Brendan Ashton, Keith Patton, Stephen Brewer, Sylvia Lohr, and Julia Couts. Thanks for your support.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We've produced a new CD of two sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin, one for Lent and one for Easter. And we'll send you this new CD for any size donation during the season of Lent. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between now and April 12th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Lent and Easter sermons.
Here's a new way to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. You can now donate stocks, bonds, and mutual funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, contact Craig at 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Please consider donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds to Issues Etc. in 2009. Call Craig today, 618-223-8382. Thanks for your support.
This pastor will have a funeral. I know another one who was killed. This pastor will be mourned. I know another one whose breath ceased. I know another one who spent time in a grave. I know another one. His name is Jesus.
Mega churches are a house of cards. Mega churches really are the primary example of what's wrong with evangelicalism, why it's so thin, so insubstantial, so unsatisfying.
President Obama presents one side's point of view and then pretends that even raising criticism of the point of view that he adopts is somehow being divisive or politicizing science.
He loved you more than he loved himself. He never sinned, not once, not ever. And he did that not sinning for you.
A little preview of our Issues Etc. soundbite of the week candidates this week. That's coming up here in about 10 minutes. Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. We're coming to you live this Friday afternoon, March the 13th.
Hey, Todd. I just wanted to lend a hand here while I could. I couldn't do it before because we were heading into the break and I had a few things I had to do, but I did pay attention in geography, and I want to lend my two cents to this continent discussion.
Okay.
There are seven, and I'll name them for you to prove it.
Okay.
North America, South America. We've got Antarctica. That's the subcontinent, not Australia, which is a continent in and of itself. Asia, Europe, and Africa. That's the seven.
So Kuwait is in Asia?
I would think so, yes.
All right.
And so I don't know. I just thought that we felt that we fell a little below the bar when it came to naming the continents. And
yeah, I mean, ordinarily, at least the product of what the three of us are able to turn out on the radio is considered to be, you know, to have some kind of credibility. And now you can see, dear listener, where all the credibility comes from. It comes from Craig, because Jeff and I together can't name the seven continents or even figure out where they're at on the globe.
I'm with you, but Mike did email us and says, I believe Kuwait is considered Asia, and he sent us a Wikipedia file that proves that.
All right.
So questions answered.
Hey, if Wikipedia says it is, then it is.
Paul from Milwaukee. There's a strain in Christianity that sees death as a good, in spite of clear evidence that is contrary to God's original intention. Cited in a conversation after Pastor Matt Harrison was on Issues Etc. were Stephen and Paul, who allegedly looked forward to it. Stephen had the revelation of Christ, and by Acts did not endorse death as a good means of getting to him. Paul said he had a desire to depart, but again did not say death was a joyful way of getting to his heavenly destination. This is from Paul in Milwaukee.
Oh, it's very good, too, and that's one of the things that I think came out so well in that conversation with Pastor Matt Harrison, who, by the way, has a candidate soundbite in Issues Etc. soundbite of the week this week from that interview with him talking about the Maryville shooting of the pastor and why something like this could possibly happen if God is good, loving, all-powerful. You know, in the face of the problem of evil, the temptation for the Christian is to say that things aren't what they sometimes appear. That is, death. Well, it looks bad, it feels bad, but it can't be bad because God is good. Well, the answer is God is not the author of death, and death, even defeated death for the Christian, is in fact the enemy. And death is as bad as it looks. In fact, it's even worse than we perceive, if we knew how bad it really was. And a theologian of the cross calls the thing what it is. He doesn't sugarcoat it. And if it's bad, he calls it bad. If it's good, he calls it good. And Scripture is quite clear. Death is bad. It's a defeated enemy, but Christ has not transformed death into a good. He's conquered death and swallowed up death and done death in. He's put death to death once and for all in his death and resurrection.
Craig just will not stop talking about the continence issue. I mean, okay, we get it, Craig.
What is he saying in there?
He's just so disappointed that we did not know our continents. He's just to be fuddled, bemused, bewildered.
Look, I'm telling you, he's the standard bearer around here when it comes to, you know, expecting the highest level of performance in every single position.
I felt my seventh or eighth grade geography teachers would have felt they failed if I couldn't name the continents. And I feel let down by both of you. I have to tell you that.
You know, I tell you what, that geography is going to come in handy for him because he's going to have to widen his search for a suitable wife here at some point pretty soon. And the North American continent, I think, has kind of been, you know, exhausted. He's going to have to start South America, Europe, Asia, a little Australia, maybe even the subcontinent down. You know, there might be some beautiful women along with all the penguins in Antarctica. So, you know.
Before we get back to email, a couple of things. Number one, earlier this week I called Dr. Nagel's wife, Norma Nagel, who suffered a stroke several months ago, Betsy Nagel. And I know a lot of our listeners have been praying for him and like an update. I try to check in every now and then with the Nagels, and she mentioned that he hasn't improved dramatically. His mind's still good, but he's still paralyzed basically on the left side of his body. And so she appreciates everybody's prayers and support. And speaking of that, I think we ought to get the address up on the website. I'll try to make a note of that so people can write to Dr. Nagel. I know he's a favorite guest of many of our listeners. They can write to him. She says he loves company, and I'm sure he'd love to get some mail from our listeners.
That is a great idea. That's a great idea.
Yeah, Craig gave it to me. Anyway, before we move on to email, let's talk about the
new piece of equipment. Yes. You know, when we built LPR Studios...
We span the seven continents to get this piece of equipment.
Oh, yeah. Well, when we built the LPR Studios, there's a lot of equipment and a lot of wires and a lot of complicated doodads that all had to go together perfectly. It was a long project, and anyone who's been in here knows that while we have we tend to be a rather low-budget affair, our equipment is rather good. But one thing was missing from the very beginning, a vital piece of equipment without which we could not really truly function at our peak efficiency week by week. And Craig, being not only the brilliant intellect that he is and handsome devil, he also is brutishly strong. And he was the only one strong enough to open beer bottles without a bottle opener. In fact, he did it, innovative fellow that he is. He did it with a wrench for a lot of months here. Whenever someone would come in or after the show, he'd say, "Do you want a beer?" And he would go to the mini fridge and then go to the tool box and get out a wrench and open. I don't know how he did it, but just sheer brute force would open these beer bottles. And then I'll let Jeff pick up the story from there. Yesterday, we were given a tremendous gift.
Yes, Pastor Asbury notice our dilemma here, our crises, and went in his trunk, and he had something from a previous engagement with another regular guest on the show, Pastor Marcus Zill, where he remembered they were in a crisis situation and needed a bottle opener, and he pulled it out of his trunk and brought it into the... It was his gift to LPR.
He gave it to us. He gave it to us.
And pure grace.
Yeah, it was...
No works.
It was
no
amazing.
Merit.
In fact, I think Craig had just practically... bloodied his knuckles trying to open another beer bottle, and then all of a sudden, here comes Pastor Asbury in from his truck with what were you guys calling it? The church key? Is that what it's called? It's called a church key.
Well, no, he said put it on a big ring, like a church key or this like those convenience marts do for the bathroom key, so we don't lose it.
It's a good idea, and so I think we're gonna put a nail up on the wall and make sure that it has a place of honor. The unofficial, no, we'll call it the official Asbury bottle opener for LPR. What's up next with the email, Jeff?
Albert in Irvine, California, in regards to our series with Dr. Stephen Hine on the cross of Christ, he said, Dr. Hine said words to the effect that because Christ died for the sins of the world, people in hell are not being punished for their sins since all of their sins are forgiven. Rather, they are punished for their failure to avail themselves of Christ's atoning sacrifice. Matthew 12:31 seems to indicate that there is at least one sin for which Christ did not die, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Also, Revelation 21:8 seems to indicate that people in hell are there because of their sins, which include lack of faith. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Would love to get your perspective on these texts, writes Albert in Irvine, California.
Okay, Jesus does say that there is a blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which remains unforgiven, but it's not because Christ did not die for it. Christ shed his blood for all sin, including the unforgiven sin. It's usually, if it's not, You'll hear it said, the unforgivable sin. It's not an unforgivable sin. It's the unforgiven sin. Why? Because blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is unbelief. It is a rejection of Christ's sacrifice at the cross. It is denying the one who has redeemed us and bought us and purchased us with his own blood and sacrifice at the cross. And it's not that that sin is unforgivable. It's that it refuses the forgiveness. And it is therefore unforgiven. Now, as to those who suffer eternal torment in hell, are they being punished for their sins? Properly speaking, no. But are there murderers in hell? Of course there are. Are there the wicked and unbelievers? Of course there are. But remember, there will also be murderers in heaven and blasphemers in heaven and thieves and liars. I would number myself among them. There will be adulterers and all sorts of wicked people or once wicked people in heaven. What's the difference? The only difference is, and it's not the difference that Christ died for some and not for others, as some teach. That would be terrible. You'd never know whether or not you're the murderer for whom Christ died or the murderer for whom he didn't die. No. The difference is the sacrifice is received. Christ died for all. Those who suffer eternal torment because they reject the one who died for them. When we come back, blog of the week, then soundbite of the week.
We're not funded by LCMS, Inc. You're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Gayla Colnsberg, Richard Heiss, Janice Scheidt, Jana Hargreaves, Paul Wilcoxon Jr., Carrie Nephew, Sarah Bartell, Keith Kirchhoff, Michael Bartell, and Sarah Strawn. Thanks for your support.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Due to the tragic outbreak of Salmonella associated with the Peanut Corporation of America, they recalled its food products and asked all customers to stop distribution. It's true only a portion of the peanuts harvested were tainted with Salmonella, but no one can be certain which products contain the harmful bacteria. You might say trying to figure out where the tainted peanuts begin and end is above anyone's pay grade. So to be certain no one's life is jeopardized, all products were recalled. It's unfortunate our own president doesn't have the judgment of the peanut industry. Rather than erring on the side of caution, his admitted ignorance of when life begins is an excuse for expanding government-funded abortions rather than recalling them. That kind of judgment is just plain nuts.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastors or lay leaders to hold a seminar in your area. Go to theclcc.org.